Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, continuation for those of you that have been listening for the last hour, continuing into this hour. Scott Bloom joining us here today, and I can't wait to talk with him. You know, Scott is a best-selling author of Waiting for Autumn and Summer's Path and co-founder of the popular inspirational website. You know, this is kind of interesting what I've learned. Okay, so when I first started to do this in 2003, Benny, I would have probably said, the inspirational website daily OM, right?
OM.
I know, but I have so evolved.
As you have.
I have. Yeah. But we can't wait till Scott's. He's going to set us straight on this anyway. He's joining us here today. We also participated in his book launch, and I love it. We get to participate in book launches for people that have such a powerful message out there. I can't wait to talk about, you know, talk with him about his latest book. But more importantly, he's a filmmaker. He's a multimedia artist. He's collaborated with a bunch of authors, musicians, visual artists, and he writes about things that if you'd have talked to him about some of these topics 10 years ago, he probably would have been banned from speaking in certain states. But joining me here today, we're going to be talking about, you know, what his latest Winter Moon Rises is about, why this is the third installment in a trilogy that includes Summer's Path and Waiting for Autumn. It's based on a personal journey into fatherhood. So, Benny, there's lots for you to listen to here.
Oh, I got
on the
my
show.
Ears peeled. They're good.
We're going to hear about what does it mean? What are some of the personal challenges that one goes through when they decide to write about certain topics? I know for me, writing about what I'm writing about now, the epic world, I am being hit with all sorts of challenges about that, but they're not about the writing. They're about a personal journey. Before we get started and bring Scott on, let's pull a prosperity card, Mr. Benny.
Woo-hoo!
All right, everybody. Action is the active ingredient that transforms my goals into reality.
Ah, cooking up something
good. It's a big cooking it up.
Yeah.
Set out with clear goals and positive expectations, then watch for guidance and take action. Being courageous enough to act on your intuition brings your goals into reality. Mm-hmm.
Food for thought. I'm
going to talk to Scott about that.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Scott, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. I'm going to take this affirmation card, and this is where I think I'd like to start with you.
Okay. So about action.
Yes.
I believe that the first thing that you want to do is to come to terms with your own personal destiny, whatever that means. So then when you're moving, you're not just running around in circles, but you're actually doing something meaningful that's going to be in alignment with your reason for being. So that's how I look at action.
Mm. You know, let's talk about the other part of this in terms of Winter Moon Rises. And we'll tell all our listeners about this as we move along here. One of the things it says, which I'm finding in showing up in my life, it says, you know, being courageous enough to act on your intuition brings your goals into reality. I love that idea, being courageous enough to act on your intuition. I want to ask you, what kind of role does intuition play in the way you live your life, Scott? And what role does it play in the books that you've authored?
Well, I look at intuition as essentially the gateway between our physical bodies and our soul. So as I started this conversation, it's great that you started with it with action, because truly our personal destiny, the reason that we're here on Earth is all about aligning ourselves with what are we supposed to be doing. How are we supposed to be helping the rest of the world? I believe that the reason we're all on this planet is to leave the world in a better place than it was before we got here. And so the only way that we're going to do that in a very authentic way is to do is to basically go forth with what our soul contract was with the universe. What was the agreement that we made with ourselves and the universe before we were born? And that journey basically is the signpost that we use in order to find out if we're on that journey. It is the soul communication with the rest of the planet, and the easiest way to get in touch with that soul communication is through our intuition. So for me, it's absolutely imperative. I do everything I can to stay in concert with my intuition, because my brain, although it's a really valuable tool for, you know, balancing my checkbooks or memorizing multiplication tables, it's not the best tool to use in order to find out what I'm supposed to be doing in my life. The intuition is definitely a much stronger tool for that.
Scott, I love listening to you. First of all, thank you for joining me here today. Let's give our listeners a little backdrop on what this third installment in the best-selling series of these amazing novels is all about. First of all, I love the title. There's something about the title that I remember when Linda and I were talking about bringing you on, and when we got the invitation to participate in the book launch, you know, I was looking at the title, Winter Moon Rises. And there's something about that title that's very personal to me, and yet I can't explain it. And I remember before, reviewing the book, I remember thinking, why is that such an emotional title for me? And I waited to have you on the show to ask you about it. Let's give our listeners the backdrop of how this latest creative piece from you fits into the trilogy.
Well, basically, the trilogy is exploring three core issues in my life and hopefully in others that people can relate to. The first one, Summer's Path, explores the concept of death and how death is not an end of one's life, but it's simply a transition along a continuum of existence. So basically that's what I was exploring in Summer's Path. And then the second installment of the series, Waiting for Autumn, explores love, which in my opinion is the core energy that we can all draw from. It's almost like the embryonic fluid of energy is love. It's something we can tap into. And then the third installment in the book, in some ways, is leading back to the first one, which is birth. And so, in exploring the topic of birth, one of the things I was truly embracing was the world of unborn children and how we can connect to that wonderful world of unborn children. In some ways, remember what it was like before we were born, but more important, as we're adults, connect to that world. Which, although it seems to be difficult for some people, it becomes quite easy when you're on the journey to fatherhood or to parenthood, which is what I was doing when I was exploring this.
You know, and part of this is exploring this in a metaphysical way as, that's what we're talking about here as well. I mean, there certainly is the physical aspect of it, but there is the spiritual, metaphysical aspect of it, the things that we don't talk about too often in our society, you know?
Right, absolutely. I had a relationship with my unborn daughter for several years before we became pregnant, and that was one of the sort of the keys of the metaphysical relationship that I had with the world of unborn children was through her. And so this kind of set me off in my journey, which at the beginning of the journey I thought was completely 100% a metaphysical experience. But when when the child is actually inside of the womb, all kinds of different issues open up within myself, and it becomes initially metaphysical and spiritual from my background, but then quickly becomes emotional, and then just identifying with, you know, what is the concept of a child? What is the concept of being? What is the concept of, you know, parenthood? So all of these things were intermixed, and my goal for all spirituality is to try to integrate that with my daily life, and not separate my spiritual practice from my waking hours. So I have a constant goal of having a walking meditation, and have every single moment of my life being present for that. And the only way that truly happens is when you integrate all of the experiences you're having, and truly bringing a child into the world is challenges you on all of those levels.
You know, I love what we're talking about here, because what I'm hearing you say is certainly a lesson that I'm learning. You know, you definitely are going to be my inspiration for finishing my book proposal, because so often, Scott, and I love that we're talking about, we're going to delve more deeply into this when we talk about the book. But if we're not in, let me just say it like this, if we're not in spiritual practice, then aren't we in fact separated from source at those times? I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, I know it's a black and white question in an area that's not so black and white, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that the thing to keep in mind is that enlightenment isn't a destination. It truly is the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us that are trying to be mindful with our path will fall off of our path, you know, many times in our life. In fact, I fall off of my path at least, you know, 1,200 or 1,300 times a day.
I'm with you on that. I'm right there. I've got bruises from falling off it. You know, it's like when I got thrown from the horse.
Exactly.
You know, my
exactly.
butt is sore.
Exactly. Our metaphysical butts are always
exactly.
sore. I like that.
I like it. Let's take a short break, Scott, because we've got lots to. I love the book, by the way. And there's so many questions I have about it. But I want to make sure I don't give away the whole, like, book. But there are so many questions. I'm so fascinated by this and your connection. And I don't know if you know this, but Benny has twin boys that are 9 months old. And yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And so he's paying close attention to this. Scott, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about this metaphysical connection, our soul's journey, the connection we have. What is it all about when we're thinking about unborn children? Is it possible to have a relationship with an unborn child that perhaps is not even yours? Oh, boy. Lots of questions. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
Prosper to rise.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat. and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
If you've gone through a separation and feel disappointment, despair, loss of identity, and fear, there is a new pathway to joy for you. SoulWorks Coaching empowers you to go through this separation with soul and hope. So get ready to step into a new relationship with yourself and build a fabulous new life. Contact Monique today at 617-328-7113. That's 617-328-7113. And visit soulworkscoaching.com. Give yourself this gift of love today.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community, presents Healing, a spiritual event, Saturday, December 3rd, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. in Seattle. The event features free mediumship and energy healing demos, lectures in crystal light therapy, alchemy, meditation, psychometry, and psychic art drawing with the masters. At 6 p.m., the doors open for a rare opportunity to experience hands-on healing by the Ascended Masters. To register for this evening's seance, go to theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. I am so thrilled to have this best-selling author, Scott Blum, joining us here today. And he's joining us here today. Best-selling author, and I mentioned the trilogy, if you all have not been familiar with it, but he's a best-selling author of a book that we here at the Dr. Pat Show have been highlighting, and for many of you, if you've not read the other books and also have, heard of his feature film, Walk In, we'll talk a little bit about that. But today, you know, we're talking about Winter Moon Rises. It's such a fascinating title. And there's something about it that touched me the minute that I saw the title of the book. And of course, I knew of Scott's other books, that he had out there in the film. But there's something about this book that has such a profound message for all of us, but also about our youth, our young people. Scott, thank you for joining us here today. It's great to have you on the show. I mean, I love what you've been able to do. I love your books. This is really a conversation about discovering what you call the heart path and spiritual awakenings. And I love what you and I were chatting about before the break. Yeah, I do fall. I fall off my spiritual path a lot of times. We've got, we've actually got some bruises, right? you know, we've got some scars about what that's like. But the question then is, how do we get back up on it? Because I think that's the key. It's not how many times you fall off, is it? It's really how many times that you get plugged in so that we can support this relationship between heart path and spiritual awakening.
Right, absolutely. I don't think that it's actually that difficult. In some ways, getting back on is as simple as just having the intention that I am on a spiritual journey. I do want to make sure that I'm integrated with a world around me that's larger than just myself. I want to do, what is in alignment with my own personal destiny and try to, leave the world a better place than before I came. If you just keep those thoughts in mind, that intention, that, in fact, getting out of your thoughts is probably more important than keeping it in, but using the thoughts as a gateway into your intuition and then your intuition as a gateway into your intention, then all you have to do is just simply intend and say, well, it doesn't really matter that I was on the ground here. What I'm doing is I'm moving forward. And so just keeping that in mind is all that really matters.
One of the things that this book does is really does tap in to this journey. Right. You know, Winter Moon Rises. Just when I say that Winter Moon Rises, there's such a both light and dark side to that book title. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But Winter Moon. Ooh, what does that bring in? But, you know, the book itself really looks at the journey and talks about the relationships that we have. Let's talk about the spirit of the unborn children. And the question I had before the break, I mean, is it possible for us to have relationships with unborn children that are not ours?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, you know, using the word ours is kind of,
I know.
The whole possessiveness of another soul is very difficult for me to grasp onto anyway, because I look at as children as not creating a soul from nothingness. Just because, you know, you've conceived a child doesn't mean that that child doesn't exist beforehand. In fact, I look at, as I mentioned about my book, Summer's Path, I look at this entire continuum of existence, and birth and death being two very important transitions, but they are just simply transitions within a larger view of life. And so, of course, souls exist before they come into our life, as they would after we leave the planet as well. So, you know, can you enjoy somebody's company at a Starbucks? Of course you can, just because, you know, you don't happen to be related to them. So in the same way, can you have a relationship with an unborn child that isn't biologically yours? You know, of course, there's all kinds of different ways of interacting with souls. So I don't really look at them as any different than incarnate beings.
Well, you know, when we take a look at these, and, you know, it's so interesting what's happening in our pop culture right now, Scott. Lot of movies about unborn children coming out. And I never thought I would say this either. Lot of vampire movies about unborn children coming out. Interesting. But they're in the context of some absolutely incredible, by the way, metaphysical, spiritual adaptations of things, right? And your book as well talks about something that we don't talk about very often in our pop culture. And so, you know, this idea of having a spiritual connection to something unborn may be new for some people, but for a lot of people, it is absolutely something that they feel. Most of the time, however, from the mother's point of view. This is from your point of view.
Yes, absolutely. I say that it sounds like a very strange idea to have to communicate with an unborn child, but I'd say the majority of women, when they're pregnant, definitely have communicated with their unborn child. It's not uncommon at all. And in fact, I believe that from an evolution standpoint, it's absolutely imperative for the mother and the child to connect, you know, just for survival's sake. So that doesn't seem strange when you look at it in that way. Coming from a father is maybe less acknowledged than the communication with the mother, and in some of the experiences I'm led to believe were somewhat unique that I had. But at the same time, I think that it's basically where we are within our evolution, that we are coming together, and, you know, the whole concept of mother and father needs to definitely be more symbiotic and balanced within not only you know, within ourselves, mm-hmm. but within our relationship and ultimately the world. So I believe that experience that I had is happening more and more as we evolve as a species.
Well, I mean, the book also talks about you know, what we're in relative to gender issues. And I want to talk about that a little bit more, because I'll tell you what, I was really struck by a couple of things here recently. And I actually commented, I was walking down the street and I saw a young dad dropping his child off at the bus stop, right? Walking to the bus stop. And I commented to a friend of mine, and my friend, you know, I said, oh my gosh, isn't that like amazing? She turned to me and she said, my father wouldn't be caught dead dropping us to the bus stop. And, you know, and that was a statement, right, about where we've been and where we've come to this point. And so, you know, the gender issues that seem to show up in the book, do you believe they are unique to where we are today? And, you know, you as a young man as well, You know, what is your level of awareness of the fact that there still may be gender issues in our society?
Well, I was brought up at the height of the feminist movement, and so I never really questioned the fact that men and women were equal in every way. I never really looked at gender as even an issue within my own life, and I didn't acknowledge the differences pretty much ever until we were bringing a child into the world. And I then was struck by some, you know, very vivid experiences and realizations that we are different, that men and women are very, very different, and we're not equal. And one of the main issues is simply that the mother carries the child and the father doesn't. And so that one little acknowledgement, which of course I knew intellectually, but I didn't know it on a soul level until I was, you know, on that journey of becoming a parent, that I needed to then identify myself as not just a parent, but a father, and trying to understand what is a father, what is a good father. You know, my father, my biological father left my mother when I was very young, and her second husband adopted me. And so I needed to come to terms with, you know, is the definition of a father someone who brings life into this world from a biological standpoint,
wow,
or is it the nurturing?
Wow. You know, that's a great question to hold for when we come back from break, because it is a really important question. I'm really struck, Scott, by where it kind of takes me, going back to the original conversation of, you know, I mean, actually, who are we to claim that something belongs to us and ignore what's outside of that framework, that ignores the energy of that? When we come back, we're going to give you lots more information, tell you how you can get your copy of the book. And we're going to talk about soul contracts. You know, what are they? Are they a theme in Scott's book? And more importantly, what do they mean? Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
Disease, one of the most dreaded words in our vocabulary. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know traditionally we have viewed disease as a degenerative process? Disease is better understood when we view it as dis-ease in the human body. Dis-ease means without ease. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's when every part of the body works together effortlessly, relaxed and at ease. It's that relaxed state that lets energy flow in waves through and around the entire body. Every organ has an electrical charge, and when overcharged or undercharged, dis-ease occurs. And it is an effort to go through our day. We are able to determine the exact dis-ease of the body and design a specific solution to correct the nutritional imbalance. Contact us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Action Whey and Emerald C combined give your body the complete nutritional foundation nature intended. Hi, this is Paul Bland. Since I have been drinking Action Whey and Emerald C on a daily basis, I've started building the nutritional foundation that nature intended. I am 57 and my blood pressure is 120 over 78. I've lost 20 pounds. I have more energy and I feel great. For more information on building a foundation of nutrition naturally, visit C, that's S-E-A, and Earth.com.
Are you seeking clarity? Do worries about your health, job, parents, children, or pets keep you awake, tossing and turning at night? Are you considering a major life change? Looking for love? Do you want to create a life of joy? Let psychic Elizabeth Anglin help. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838 to schedule your life clarifying appointment today. Don't waste time being worried. Psychic Elizabeth Anglin at ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects. effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We're so sure Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief with no side effects, ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. Scott Blum joining us here today, best-selling author. I want to just mention to all of you that if you have not gotten a copy of his books, the trilogy, you're definitely going to want to do that. For those of you that have gotten the first two, you're going to want to definitely get Winter Moon Rises. Scott, what's the best website for people to find out more about you?
ScottBlum.net, ScottBlum.net.
Okay. Now, I think that we're talking about some things that for our listening audience, people are going to get. And for many people that you've talked about, or that you've talked with, the gazillion of interviews you've done, do you feel that this conversation about the spirit of an unborn child, right, is something that people are now resonating to. And I'm not really talking about the political issues around this. I'm actually talking about the metaphysical issues around this. You know, the idea that there are these soul contracts, even to the point, right, where your child, Benny's boys, may have selected each of you.
Right. Well, that is one of the core issues, and one of the aspects that I started the book with is that I truly believe that our children choose our parents. We chose our parents, and that our children choose us as parents. And it's a little bit of an extension of what I was talking before about that continuum of existence that happens before and after what we consider to be life on this planet. When we sort of acknowledge that this soul has existed before they come into our family in the form that we're going to identify with, what we then start to realize that this soul has a history, and that they have acquired their own sort of karmic baggage along the way. So when they're deciding which parents they want to be born to, one of the main things that they're trying to do is to find out, you know, about their own karmic compatibility with the karmic debt that they've acquired and the karmic journey that the parents have. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to have an easy time. In fact, most of the time, the universe uses difficult situations in order to help us learn what we're supposed to learn in our soul contracts. And our soul contracts are simply agreements with the universe about core issues that we need to learn. It's not, aspects like you know, times tables or memorizing capitals of,
right,
of states, but it's these core issues like love or compassion. And sometimes, you know, having a very, very difficult childhood, you know, growing up with no money and a father leaving and mother dying and, you know, all of these horrific things that can happen as a child.
Well, there you go. You just outlined my childhood.
Right, that you then allow that the universe could be simply teaching you the lesson of compassion, you know, to allow you to identify that this is an incredibly important need that we all need to learn, so we can begin to help others. So it seems like the soul contract is a very complicated thing, but in actuality, it's very simple, and it allows us to set ourselves on a path, you know, with our personal destiny that I was talking about previously.
I love this. You know what? Because what you just said now just made perfect sense to me. Because what we're really talking about, if we take a look at our lives, each of us takes a look at our lives. And, you know, I was really struck by what you said because you basically did describe my childhood. You know, I remember my mom being picked up for shoplifting. We were all shopping. And my mom being picked up for shoplifting, right? That's kind of financially where we were, right? Where she had to go, she had to steal clothes to put the clothes on her back for school, right? And I remember that. And I thought to myself over the years, you know, why were those lessons so important to me? So, you know, so fast forward now, you know, I'm committed to helping people thrive in life and understand what that means, not necessarily in the materialistic sense, you know, but what was it I learned from some of those early childhood pains. I mean, I was homeless at 17. So there is something that you learn from that. If it doesn't kill you here, Scott, though.
Well, again, if it doesn't kill you, that's assuming that death on this planet means, you know, ceasing to exist, and mm-hmm. that's not true. So yes, it's very possible that your exit might be helping not only yourself but others. You know, when a loved one dies, the profound impact that has on a family and friends is immeasurable. And you know, sometimes a soul gives themselves, you know, for the benefit of mm-hmm. others. So
yeah.
It's
yeah.
very complicated. It
yeah.
seems on some levels, but if you back up, it's actually quite simple. That you know, all of these incredibly important events have
right.
huge repercussions.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, everyone that I've been close to that has passed, enormous lessons, not only in their when they were living, but in their passing. I want to talk with you about some of the characters. Let's talk about some of the characters in the book. And, you know, I mean, as we're reading the book, right, I mean, it is really clear that there are levels of fear in this book and anxieties in this book that are very akin to the level of fear and anxieties that people are facing now worldwide. I want to talk about some of the characters in the book, if we could just give people a sneak preview, and, you know, some of the fears and some of the anxieties that do show up here.
Well, I'd say that the main characters in the book are Scott and Madison, which are named after myself and my wife, Madison, my wife and co-founder of Daily Ohm, and the fears that we have are sort of mirror our own in life. We spent nearly 20 years together before we decided to bring a child into this world. So it was a very deliberate choice that we made. And, you know, one of the fears that that my wife had was, you know, am I too old to have a child? You know, I think that's a core fear that has been beat into all females' heads throughout throughout their childhoods. You know, so that was a major portion of it. And then for me, you know, am I ready to be a parent? Even after 20 years, you know, do I have the money? Can I afford to support this child in a way that I would wish that I would have been supported? You know, can I pay for college? You know, those types of issues, which then quickly evolved into, am I worthy to be a parent? Can I actually offer them anything meaningful, money aside, just from a wisdom standpoint, that's going to be able to help them in this quickly evolving world that we're living in now? Who, you know, just keep in mind how the world has evolved in the last 20 years and what's going to happen in the next 20 years now that, you know, the spiritual revolution is upon us. All of these issues were incredibly debilitating for me, and I think that the one that caused the meltdown was the whole concept of gender. That was one of the main ones, but without getting distracted on that one, but I would say that was one of the big issues, and what I needed to do was come back to center and realize that I needed to draw strength from, you know, the universe, that this was truly my path, and not shoulder this responsibility on my own, but more important, began to draw from my ancestors, because that was what I needed at that moment. The idea of bringing a child into this world, I was essentially participating in extending our family line and our ancestral
right
line, and the fact that I was adopted and completely disconnected myself from my family on many levels, I was trying to shoulder all of this on my own. And so I truly needed to acknowledge my ancestors and do everything I could to participate in an ongoing continuum of a family line instead of trying to do it all myself.
Well, you know, and this is really kind of the question about you. And this is what I would really like to explore, because I think you're a perfect example and so relatable to all of us listening to you. I mean, how do you, Scott, describe your life's journey? You know, when you think back about you, beyond what you just shared, when you think back about you, do you ever think about, oh, my gosh, when as an unborn Scott, you know, this is why I chose this. This is what my message is. This is why I'm here. This is what I meant to do. Do you contemplate that, or is it simply a place of knowing for you?
Yeah, I think it's more of a place of knowing. I don't find sort of going back. I think that everybody has they find strength in different healing modalities, and I think that that type of work is very helpful for many people. But what I have done in the past is, of course, I started my spiritual path on the same way that most people start it, which is to heal myself. And then once I began to heal myself, you know, my friends and family and ultimately, you know, my own family line, I think that was sort of the place in my journey, the place of my journey at this moment. And so reflecting on my own previous lives don't really matter to me so much, because I'm just trying to spend all of my energy that I can, you know, being in the moment as much as possible. And I feel like I have so much to do on this planet right now I don't really want to spend too much time outside of it. My own personal spiritual journey started where I was spending the majority of my energy getting out of this planet and getting into the spirit world and out of my body, and you know, essentially ignoring everything that I had going on this you know, in this body and what I had manifested here. And so I think that was one of the big lessons I learned early in my spiritual journey, that the reason I'm here is to be here and to learn the lessons that I have on this planet. And so that's where I'm at right now, is I'm just trying to be here.
I love it. You know, well said. Trying to be here and, you know, pick ourselves off when we fall off that spiritual horse, I'm telling you. I don't know about you, but I've had my spiritual horse kick me a few times. You know what I'm saying? It's like, pay attention, Pat. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of these incredible rituals, exploring those ancient rituals in this book, some of the unseen worlds. What are they? What is ancestral healing? You know, we can only give you a snippet of Winter Moon Rises. You're going to have to get the book and find out for yourself. When we come back, how are rituals in right now in our pop culture, in our world, how are these rituals being, let's just say, exposed to a greater population? Why are they important? And do you know how to participate? We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
What are we attracting in our life and relationships, and why? And how can we let go of attracting and being attracted to things that may not serve us? Peter Kane has been facilitating deep relationship work for over 30 years. Author of The Monogamy Challenge, Creating and Keeping Intimacy, Peter is passionate about bringing aliveness into your life and relationships. Contact Peter Kane for counseling, coaching, or breathwork. Visit peterkane.org or contact Peter Kane at 425-802-2050.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Do you hear voices? Do you see and know? Are you fascinated by the discussions about spirituality? Are you trying to connect with your own true self, your inner calling, and your transformation, but need some assistance on your path? Meet Natalie, spiritual teacher and guide, happy to empower you to truly get to know, be, and love yourself, so you can experience true happiness and freedom. Contact Natalie at natalie@healingisis.com or Facebook Natalie.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463, or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. I am so thrilled about Scott Blum's latest book, Winter Moon Rises. There's so much in this book that is so relevant to some of the experiences that people are going through these days. You know, whether they are moments in your spiritual journey or your daily journey that taps you into something, a source greater than yourself, some kind of connection that you make to somebody, but you don't understand why you're making it, or somebody you pass on a street and, you know, you just feel an energy about them. You know, some of the children in your life, in my own case, which is so fascinating for me, is, you know, the relationship I seemingly have with one of my dearest friend's granddaughter, who just turned 4 years old. As a matter of fact, such a connection, I'm going to talk to Scott about this, such a connection that I actually predicted that this child would be born 4 weeks prior to her birth date. And I, believe me, I don't even have a clue about how I knew that. Scott, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show again. I love that we're going to be talking about rituals. What do you think about what I said about little Cassidy's birthday? When Ruthie was carrying her, she wasn't supposed to have the baby till like November or something, right? And I just turned to her one day and I said, you know what? You're not going to have a Scorpio baby. You're going to have a Libra baby, and you're going to have it around here.
Well, I think that that we all have an opportunity to reconnect with our soul family, and that's what it felt like to me when you were saying that. I kind of got a hit that you had a relationship with this soul in a previous lifetime. So I think that our soul family doesn't necessarily align 100% with our with our biological family, and so it's good to be sensitive to those connections that we have. Some of those connections are going to be the most powerful connections we're going to have in this lifetime. Some of them are going to only be brief, where you're going to see somebody in the subway and you're going to know that you know them for many, many years before, and all you need to do is simply acknowledge that you're not alone. And you never see him again in this lifetime. And others, you actually end up, marrying or having a longer term relationship with. But these soul connections in my life anyway are probably the most powerful connections that I have with anybody.
You know, I haven't really asked Benny because I don't like to put him on the spot. But I often wondered, you know, from a man's point of view, and definitely your book points to this. You know, but from a guy's point of view, you know, what that relationship is before the children get born. In Benny's case, he has two beautiful young boys that all of us got to be part of the journey along the way with Benny. For those of us that know Benny, we get to see him every day, not Lindsay so much. But you know, we have this relationship with him and the joy that he had along the way, and then the birth of his children and the joy that he has. But there is this idea of rituals, and I think we all have them, whether it be with an unborn child or with that child as a child grows up. You really do highlight rituals in the book. Can you talk about why that's so important and why that's so relevant today?
Well, I think that that ritual is probably one of the most important things that we can do in today's day and age, especially because as a society, backing up a little bit, the reason to have a ritual is to essentially connect with something larger than yourself. And so it's a tool in order to acknowledge and connect with something larger than yourself, and today it's absolutely necessary because we have evolved into this hyper individualistic society. I think that the internet has definitely encouraged that, where we can basically placate to every single one of our micro niche interests that we might have, and isolate ourselves from a in a very real way from not only casual meeting of people that you might meet in social situations, but in some ways our own families. And so I believe that the first thing that you need to do is to acknowledge the fact that we are interdependent, and we're not interdependent on a kind of a what can you do for me sort of internet way, but how can we all come together on a soul level and an energetic level and truly connect to each other on a metaphysical level. So, I think that once you first acknowledge that rituals are an important tool in order to handle that, then one of the things that you'll naturally come, or at least for me, what I did, is to take that to the next step and use those rituals in order to connect to my ancestors.
Mm.
And the concept of an ancestral line, especially when you're bringing a child into this world, is so hugely important. And rituals are an amazing tool in order to allow you to start connecting to those ancestors, especially if many of those ancestors have moved on and are no longer with us on this planet.
Yeah, I wanted to bring something up, and we don't have a lot of time to go into detail about it, but I did want to bring something up that you and I were talking about during the break. One of the misconceptions that there is when we are having these spiritual conversations, right, that religions do not have rituals. That is so far from the truth. So for those of you out there that are listening that are saying, you know what, I am part of a religious organization and the whole conversation about rituals doesn't apply to me. And I wanted to just say to you, I grew up in the Catholic religion. We had a lot of amazing rituals. You see what I'm saying, Scott? So there is this area now that I just want to make sure that we cover. You see what I'm saying?
Right, absolutely. I mean, I think that religions have some very important things to offer certain people. I think that like all of us, humans are flawed, and humans that are involved in religious organizations are flawed, because we all are. And I think that you're going to find, you know, a spiritual path that works for you. My experience is that religion is sort of the knowledge of spirituality, and that knowledge is a good gateway for people. I think that if you do some of these rituals that are involved in your churches, that over time those are going to start to seep in, and you're going to have your own personal connection with what you're being connected to. If you can have that personal connection, within your church or your religious group, that's fantastic. You should continue to do that. But if you're just doing it for no reason, then maybe you should widen your net a little bit and find something that allows you to connect on a deeper soul level with something bigger than yourself.
I love it. Scott, let's give out your website one more time. I love the book. And thank you so much for giving us a full hour of your time. I so appreciate you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. My website is scottblum.net, scottblum.net. And if you end up buying the book, even at your local favorite shop, definitely go on my website and put in your email address, and you can win a lovely spa weekend for two at the Mount Chester Resort, which is featured in the book.
Oh, my gosh, and it's one of the most beautiful places. Scott Blum, everybody, thank you for tuning us in, turning us on. Mary Jane Mack tonight at 6 o'clock on BBS Radio. We'll see you then. Bad things are said.